once I started studying there and going over the courses, it just blew my mind. I was just barely touching the surface of what CRO really is. And it just changed everything for me. I just got crazy with this content that I completed all the available courses in a 11-month period.
Welcome to No Hacks Show, a weekly podcast in which smart people talk to you about better online experiences. My next guest is a senior experimentation strategist at Spiro, has his own e-commerce optimization course at CXL, and more importantly, he was recommended as a guest by the wonderful Tracy Laranjo, episode 113. The link will be in the description. Carlos Trujillo, welcome to the show, and what a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Sunny. The pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me. And yeah, excited to dive into some stories and anecdotes.
And congratulations on that course, which we will talk about today, obviously. E-commerce optimization pillars, CXL. Tell me about your optimization origin story. That's my favorite topic on this podcast. I ask every guest, how did they get started? How did that thing click in their minds and they decided I want to do optimization?
For that, I need to go back to 2007. That's when I started building my first website. I've never called myself a developer because I was basically connecting platforms with each other, but I was able to put some websites live back then, started a few blogs, made some money using Google. But eventually, at some point, I was looking for something different. I left my job at that point, went abroad to France. And that's exactly when I realized I needed to do something. It wasn't really called that way back then, but what I was looking to do was to have a remote job. So I restarted this professional activity. We're talking 2015, more or less. And obviously, once you start like doing this professionally, you start wondering, what can we do to be more specialized? I started an agency. I was running an agency at that point. We were doing all kinds of websites, but at some point we focused on building Shopify stores as a way to like niche down, be more experts in one specific area. This is something I believe in, like the importance of specializing in certain areas. So this is what me, my wife, a bigger team, were doing in 2019, 2020. But of course, I've always had this curiosity about like upskilling, doing more, being better. And that's when I discovered Pep Lyon in Twitter. I started following him. For those who don't know, he's CXL's founder. And I knew I wanted to join CXL.com as a student. Mm. It was just a bit pricey for me at that point. I have never said expensive because I think based on what it has given me, it's just a bargain. But it was a price for me just to spend. I think the subscription was $2,000 at that point, like the annual subscription. Mm. So I was always like on the fence, but I never like really committed to joining as a student. Until a pandemic hit in 2020. So world went crazy and all companies started trying different things to help to survive. And CXL announced a big discount. So instead of $2,000, the subscription was for a short time period, $499. And I said, this is my time. So I joined CXL Institute as a student, just because I wanted to learn more about this thing called conversion rate optimization, learn how to make these websites I was building better to provide like better experiences for users and better results for my clients. And even though I had some like top level understanding of what CRO was, and I think this is the situation for many people that believe they know what CRO is about, it just, once I started studying there and going over the courses, it just blew my mind. I was just barely touching the surface of what CRO really is. And it just changed everything for me. I just got crazy with this content that I completed all the available courses in a 11-month period. And that actually, I know, it's actually not as hard as it sounds. My framework was pretty simple. 1 hour a day, Monday to Friday.
Okay.
So if you break it down into chunks, it sounds way more realistic than when I say like hundreds of hours. So for me, it was like a pretty consistent routine. Like normally before starting my daily work, I would just spend 1 hour on CXL.com. And I got to this point where I had all the mini degrees they had available, and that made this team know who I was. So basically, I wasn't just a random person anymore, but they realized there was Carlos in Colombia going over all these courses, and it facilitated that I started DMing with some people, and eventually that's what got me hired by Spiro, where I still work after 3 years.
That's such a, I've heard this story from you in the past, and it is the most beautiful how I got a job story that I've heard ever or in a long time, at the very least. Like doing a speed run of CXL, like Super Mario speed run, but just running through courses, not running, learning, actually learning. Let me correct myself. And then getting a job, they notice you, like, tells you a lot about the company as well, that they do something like that, that they pay attention. But also what you did is just, it's beautiful. And which brings me to the digital expat thing and working remotely. And it shows you that everything in the world is reachable. Like most things are, at least. Like having a job like this 15, 20 years ago, impossible. Now, like you can live wherever and you can still get a job with CXL, with Spiro, with any agency out there. If you're good enough, if you commit enough time, right?
Yeah. And back then, like Spiro was still called CXL agency.
Mm-hmm.
So this differentiation wasn't that clear. It was more of a unified team in many ways. So yeah, it definitely helped as well because I was just known across CXL. It's funny because we still share like anecdotes and stories back then when they were debating about hiring me, and I was like the guy who completed all the courses that made me known for a reason. And I don't necessarily think this is a framework that everybody just should repeat like exactly like that. But it worked in my case for several reasons. And yeah, I'm glad it did because it's been a really fun journey so far.
Absolutely. And repeating it exactly step by step, I don't think it will work for other people. People have different things that they need to do. But it just shows that what seems impossible, and in 2019, it probably seemed impossible that you would be working for CXL at one point, is actually doable. Like it's 1 hour a day, people. Just it's 1 hour a day. Make sure you know what you want to do. You know how to do it. You break it down into steps. Things happen.
Like that's the beautiful
part. So this allows you to, yeah.
Well, one very fun fact about it is that Pep tweeted that at some point. Like he actually said, I think I have some screenshots of that tweet. If you spend an hour a day on CXL instead of Netflix, you'll run circles around people in a year. So maybe for him it was just another tweet, but for me, it really changed my life in some ways.
Professionally, in every single way, I assume. Like it didn't seem possible.
I feel like
you mentioned you started as a...
I just get excited, but I love football, soccer, and I always say I felt like I was running this little football school in my neighborhood, and then I received a call from Real Madrid. That's how I felt. I was having
a
great time. Yeah, basically.
That's the plot. That's so cool.
I was having fun running my agency. We were doing well, but like I didn't think for a second when I got an offer to join Spiro.
And how has it been? It's been 3 years now with them?
Yeah, more or less? 3 years by the time this recording. Actually,
how has that been?
Let's not share the actual dates, but and you don't know this, but today, by the day we're recording, this is my third anniversary at Spiro.
Oh, congratulations. That's
Thanks.
Pretty cool.
I just realized it.
That is awesome. How has that been? Like, obviously, 3 years, a lot of things happen at work. Your position changes, like your experiences change. So how has your evolution as an employee at Spiro been over the three years?
I love working at Spiro mainly because even though we have been in business for like 12 years now, it still has a startup vibe. You are allowed to propose things, to break things. We are not just following a playbook, which definitely resonated with me and still do. I wouldn't really fit in a place where everything's just established and you're not allowed to do stuff. So this is what I like the most about this company. Like, I spend a lot of time on client work. I would say 70% of the time, but also a good like amount of time working on all kind of internal projects. Last year, I built this A/B testing comparison tool. I have been working on building blueprints for experimentation. The CXL course I just recorded. It's really a separate project, but obviously I get all the support from Spiro in terms of like resources, design, and consultancy and feedback. So yeah, it has a really good balance. I appreciate in terms of knowing what you're expected to do, but also having this like ability to just propose and suggest new things and change things and experiment every day, basically.
Sounds like a very nice job. I'll say that. And you seem happy.
It is.
And that is awesome. So the course, you just mentioned the course. And just repeat, you did the CXL speedrun with the courses. They hired you and now you're recording a course for CXL. Like that's like a, almost like a telenovela scenario. I'm not going to get into what you did as an audio post-production, which is check Carlos's LinkedIn. It's amazing. I get some of those recommendations on Netflix, like the Patron del Mal, I get that recommended all the time. And then I see this guy did some audio effects, right? Something like that, sound effects?
Yeah, so audio
editing.
Which is
such a cool thing. So tell me about the course. Tell me about how it originated. Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so basically, in a nutshell, 4 years after I joined CXL as a student, I was invited to record a course for CXL. A bit of context, even though we are sister companies together with Winter, we are like fully independent. For example, if I get involved in some CXL project that's just a side project, it gets paid like independently. It's a different story. So I was discussing this idea with some of the CXL team members in terms of recording a short course and short by design course on some nuances of doing CRO for e-commerce. The thing is, and I was able to have this conversation with several in-house CRO practitioners working on e-commerce, is that there are several things nobody really teach you and you have to find out once you start on the role. Things like instrumentation, measuring non-binary metrics, and a lot of nuances that are not usually covered out there. So this CRO for e-commerce growth course tries to like top level, surface level, like making you aware of all these nuances so that first you aim to optimize beyond conversions, because optimizing for more conversions is not always the answer or what your business might need. And also to understand some technical nuances you might need in place if you want to tackle and influence those e-commerce optimization pillars we go over in the course.
So what's the official name? Is it still e-commerce optimization pillars? That is the official name of the course, right?
No, that's a framework. The course is CRO.
Oh, that's a framework.
For
okay.
Yeah. The course is CRO for e-commerce growth.
Okay. Lovely name. And there's a matching frame. There's a framework that goes separately, but also with the course. Like I think they reference each other, I would assume, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think at Spiro, generally speaking, we are fans of frameworks, blueprints, and try to put together for like thinking. Side note on this is that most of these models are normally born because we need to explain a concept to a client. So once we have to put these visuals once, it's just easier for us to make it public and just to allow everybody out there to get familiar with them. So yeah, this course goes over some blueprints from Spiro, but particularly it centers around a concept called e-commerce optimization pillars, which is four ways how you can drive business growth with the same traffic volume through on-site optimization.
So this is not about acquisition at all. Let's just say that. This is about optimizing what you have.
It is to some extent in terms of from the very beginning, I let the students know that when you do website optimization strategically and seriously, you definitely need to bring these learnings to your acquisition initiatives as well as use it and leverage it for your retention initiatives. So it's something that's taken into consideration the whole time. And I explicitly share this concept and set of ideas. But when it comes to testing, in this course in particular, we focus on website testing, like testing on the product, on the e-commerce platform, if you will.
And let's talk about those pillars real quick. You're allowed to reveal what they are, I assume.
Yeah, totally. So there are four pillars in total. And basically the concept is that you can optimize beyond just increasing conversion rates. And basically that influencing each one of these pillars will help driving business growth, even if all the rest remain the same. So there are four pillars. The first one is conversion, turning more visitors into customers. Obviously, the first one is the enabler, and it's what we all know, let's say, of what we are all familiar with. The second one is expand, getting customers to increase their order value, increasing AOV, increasing revenue per user, getting purchasers or customers to basically spend more. The third pillar is frequency. Encourage customers to buy repeatedly. Sometimes in e-commerce context, and especially when it comes to CRO, this is taken like just a different initiative from other teams, from like the retention teams, and they're like silos and all that. My thesis here is that the retention initiatives start at the acquisition and at the website, not only because subscription models are every day more common in e-commerce, as well as membership models, but also because the way you feel, and I always share the analogy of walking into a physical store, like the way you felt while shopping, while checking out, while walking out with the product will influence the likelihood of you coming back as a customer. So we go over some ideas in each one of the pillars, but in this case of the third pillar about how to encourage customers to buy repeatedly. And the fourth pillar, usually overlooked, is merchandising optimization. Nudging visitors towards buying key products, increasing profitability through making people exposed to certain products or SKUs that can be more profitable for your business. That's in a nutshell what we go over in the course. Of course, all the details are there.
Of course. And people just need to go to CXL and they'll find the course there. And the link will be in the description of this episode, obviously. So my experience is that when people, e-commerce, I'm talking about e-commerce, when they think about CRO, it's conversion. It's in the name. So it's not even fair that to expect that people will think about the other three pillars, spend, frequency, merchandising, but in your experience, is it a bigger leap to go from doing nothing to doing just conversion optimization? Or is it from doing conversion, like on-site pushing people to checkout, to the other three pillars? What is more difficult for a brand or a client to do?
I think it's definitely way more difficult to go from like nothing to doing a conversion rate optimization. Because it's a state of mind in a way. You now understand this concept of the importance of testing, not relying only on gut feelings or best practices for optimization. And also, like if you want to do CRO properly, you might have invested in a testing tool, put some instrumentation in place. So it's way easier to just tackle these other three pillars after you're doing CRO than just when you're doing nothing. I would definitely lean on that perspective.
That's a really good answer. So who is this course for exactly? What's your ideal student for this course?
Basically, this is for people working in e-commerce, trying to get the best out of their acquisition investments. Companies are spending a good amount of money into driving paid visitors to their website, but also to people already doing CRO, but realizing that increasing conversions is not always the answer. This is particularly relevant in e-commerce because nowadays it's very common for companies to lose money on the first purchase. So having this more holistic view about getting people to spend more, to come back repeatedly as customers, or plainly to push more profitable products will definitely affect the bottom line and make an impact on your unit economics.
I couldn't agree more. And one of my passions, and I do some work as an e-commerce CRO consultant, is the life cycle marketing and really working with that customer, not just to get them to that first purchase, but like you said, what you do at acquisition, what you do at first, like even the unboxing experience, like something like that is going to affect the repeat purchase rate. So if you have the coolest product, if you have a cool discount on the first purchase or whatever it is, and then it's in a brown box, a horrible brown box they get, that's not a memorable experience. You can invest very little money and make it a memorable experience that people want to go through again and again and buy from you. Even if you have a note, a personalized note in the box. As I think it was Valentin Rado who said it, like the only campaign that has 100% open rate is the unboxing campaign. Like you use that to your advantage. So
totally. Things like that. Couldn't agree more.
And I love how this course, the framework, covers everything that an e-commerce business needs to think about to maximize their revenue and profits over time, especially the merchandising part, which is something that if you work with Google Analytics, for example, if that's where you get your data from, you don't know. Like you have no idea which products are profitable, what you need to steer the customers to. Yeah, this is...
That's why we deep down, considering it's a short course, but try to cover some fundamentals about instrumentation, because every pillar, like as soon as you keep progressing through the pillars, the instrumentation becomes way more complicated. Measuring conversions sometimes just mean thank you page script. Measuring profitability is way, way more challenging. So something you also should be prepared for. And this course will give you a good framework, and it will be a good starting point just to start thinking about these concepts.
I couldn't agree more. And with that, I just want to congratulate you again on the anniversary, on publishing your first CXL course, first of many, maybe, we'll see. And thank you for being a guest on this podcast. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And to everyone listening, I'm sure you learned. Go to CXL, get the course, and you will learn even more. Please consider rating, reviewing, sharing this episode, and I will talk to you next week.